I was throwing rocks at the TV when Faulkner was the sixth bowler used. For Michael Clarke to come on the fourth bowler in front of Faulkner is an absolute disgrace. What a load of junk that is. Kim tried to tell me one day, I think it was about 84, and West Indies, he tried to tell me it's a team game. But I said, no, it's not, Kim, it's an individual's game.
Right, you're bloody well right.
On Halftime, right, Rodney Hall.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Hoggy always with us for Ribera's Seafood. Check them out anywhere you like. North Melbourne's a great one. Google Ribera's, the rest is easy. Seafood Sundays. Friday, friends of Ribera's. Got their freshly shucked oysters in the pot for bugger all. It's unbelievable. Hoggy's always there. Hello, Rodney.
You didn't come last week for the 1 year celebration out in North Melbourne.
Wasn't invited.
Yes, you were.
When?
Bloody oath you were.
Who invited me?
All the boys out there.
No one invited me. There's no mention of that. No memo, no email, no anything, Rodney.
Now, last week...
I'll go so far as to say you boycotted. You banished me.
No. I don't run the joint.
You banished me, in fact.
Last week, I only did half a show because of James Heard's pressy. Yep. Now, are you going to cross to Brendan Bolton or something this half hour?
No, I don't think we'll do that because we'll hear from him at 3:30. So you got a few hours up your sleeve.
Yeah. Have you got him on personally?
No, I haven't. He might be on the run home. They normally get.
What do you reckon he's going to get paid at Carlton?
What would you get paid at Carlton? I think he'd be getting paid close to half a mil, would you?
Would he?
$4.50, half a mil.
Do you reckon he's the sort of bloke that takes his lunch to work? Do you reckon he gets his lunch made every day?
And yeah, he's
won't do that anymore on 500, would you?
He'd have a lunchbox, I reckon.
You wouldn't take your lunchbox if you're on 500, 600.
Four or five compartments full. Yeah. Although there is an excellent cafe at Icon Park these days. Jason Johnson runs that, former bomber.
We wish him well.
Dynamic.
We wish him well.
We do. It's fantastic. Mm. What a great opportunity. There's 18 of these jobs in the country, Hoggy.
It's a hard gig, Carlton. No, he's got the worst gig for a long, long time.
and good luck.
Now, the Ashes, we want to talk a little bit about them.
Well, I assume at some stage we'll touch on the Ashes, which was very, very disappointing, Hoggy. And as I mentioned before, we've got a copy of your fantastic new book, Fantastic Speed Thrills, Cricket's Fastest Ever Bowlers on Bouncers, Batsmen and Serious Pace. I'm looking forward to reading this. You've just given me a copy, and I thank you for that. You've signed it to me as well, which is excellent. I'm looking forward to reading this because some of these names in here are heroes of mine from when I was watching cricket as a young man, including yourself, Rodney. Including yourself.
So well, Mitchell's in there.
Mitchell? Yeah, Mitchell's in there.
We probably lost Mitchell's the Ashes because of Mitchell bowling poorly in the first test match. And that's not a criticism, I suppose. But Mitchell didn't bowl well in the first test match at Cardiff. We dropped the catch. And then the third test match when
we dropped the catch or he dropped the catch?
Well, we dropped the catch. Mitchell bowled badly. Mm. Plus, we dropped Root on none.
We did.
So that cost us... They didn't play any better than us in that game. They are the worst. That's probably... They didn't win the Ashes. We lost it, really. And the third test match when we put them... when we batted, there's no way known we should have batted that day. So those two significant moments, plus Mitchell bowling badly in the first game, to me, are the reasons why we lost that Ashes. And you go back through it, Half. What is a successful Ashes campaign by a player? What would you like to see? 15, would you say a pass mark 15 wickets and 300 runs?
What are you bowling? 9 innings they bowled, the Australian batsman. You'd want to be getting 15 wickets, wouldn't you? 18 wickets?
One bowler took over 15 for England. One bowler took over 15.
One.
And we had four taking over 15. And two guys made over 300 runs. Now, that is hopeless. And they won the Ashes. And we had three players with over... They're only stats, I know, because along came a couple of blokes who took sixes who didn't do much else in the series. Yep. But when you look at the whole Ashes, they had one opening stand. Well, they didn't have an opening stand over 19, I don't think.
Didn't
make 20 in an opening stand.
In 9 innings.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So that is absolutely pathetic. So they won that. And then I thought I'd have a go back through the Ashes. I know that's I haven't got much to do in life, so I went back through and had a little bit of a look around. You know, in 2009, again, they only had one bloke with over 15 wickets. They won 2009 2-1. Yeah. Broad again was the only player with more than 15 wickets. And Strauss was they only had one player over 300 runs in 2009, and they won the 2000. So they have won two Ashes with a very, very ordinary side.
Or have they won it with a very even side? Ooh.
No, you got to do a bit more. You got to make 300 runs.
Well,
it's going to be slightly even, but you want to see talent. Half even means
more for talent.
Well, that's like giving every kid a bat at school. You know, you're giving the no-hopers a bat. You don't give. You want quality. I want a high standard set, and I want to see men making. You know, we've won some matches where we've had six blokes who've made over 400 runs.
We've had four blokes just on you talking about 400 before. We had four blokes make over 200 runs. Adam Voja snuck into that with his score in the last test. And England had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So they've had more blokes make 500 runs. So this is what I'm saying. Oh, sorry, 200 runs.
What's 200 runs in a series?
Well, if we're not making
the runs, tail end of stuff.
And they're making it. They're averaging. Our awesomeness, our excellence is better than their excellence. But their competitiveness all over the journey seems to be much better.
No, you've... I want that book back here. No, you've annoyed me.
You can't.
Run with me, Hart.
I'm with you. They didn't kill us with star power. That's what you're saying. Mm. It wasn't star power. It was our inability to convert when we got the chance with the bat. And even though we got a lot of wickets, Rodney, we didn't bowl very well. We had a lot of runs scored against us.
I'll say, now that's been an argument with the selection of Peter Siddle. Now, there's no way known Shane Warne said that he wanted Siddle in for the fourth test match. He didn't say that. He's come out for the fifth and said, it's a joke that Cummins should be playing and Peter Siddle shouldn't be playing. And he said, I was talking about Peter Siddle playing in the fourth test match. No, he didn't. He didn't come out and say that. And the way it went, half, we went to the West Indies and the selectors felt, we rested Harris going to the West Indies, and the selectors felt that Siddle had lost a yard. So they put this kid Hazelwood in.
Yep.
And we eclipsed the West Indies, two Ashes. And the three quicks, Johnson, Stark and Hazelwood, did a fantastic job. So we then go to Cardiff. And really, the drop catch was the difference in the two teams. We had them 3 for 40 or something, and they would have been 4 for 40, and they would have been knocked over. And so you could say they bowled a little bit better because Mitchell Johnson had a bad game. So you could say, all right, you could blame, but Mitchell's a superstar of the team. Mm. Never going to be a superstar in England. Then we go to Lords and we thrash them. Then we go to Birmingham and we win the toss and decide to bat. So it was really, we didn't make enough runs at Birmingham. We get knocked over for 130. We still bowled them out for, we still got them out for 200 and something. The bowlers didn't totally let us down there. So then, so it wasn't until probably the fourth test match when they knocked us over 60 and then the sun came out and we bowled pretty, you know, we got knocked around and they got runs in that innings.
We're not blaming the bowlers for that.
So it wasn't until really, Siddle should have been in, but at no point could you sort of get him in. You had two experienced bowlers going to Harris and Siddle. But because Hazelwood, they'd gone along all right, and the batting, really, we won that second test match so easily, it wasn't really until Hazelwood gets injured, you probably would have brought Siddle in, you know, or Cummins for the last. But it wasn't until we really got to the fifth that you could really dump one of the quicks, even though Siddle should have been playing because we didn't bowl at the stumps enough. And when we saw Siddle playing, hello, that's how you should bowl in England. You should bowl at the stumps or pretty close to them in the corridor.
Yep. Yeah. Upon reflection, the loss of Ryan Harris was significant. But did that almost mean that at some stage throughout the series, whilst there was a live series, Hoggy, that Peter Siddle did need to play just to see what dynamic that would have brought back to the team? Because of the way he bowls, as you say, at the stumps and makes batsmen play.
Well, the two left arm quicks, you know, Stark and Johnson together do not make the batsman play enough, really, for English conditions. And so you needed Harris or Siddle. And Sids has had, you know, 2009, I think he was just about our second best bowler in 2009. So the experience, but they thought when the West Indies, they were moving forward, and they thought that Sids had lost they took him over as a backup support system. But they put all their eggs in with Hazelwood. And Hazelwood, it was going along nicely until we really got the seamer in the third test match. So, but to me, half, very, very ordinary side England to win the Ashes.
Well, Damo off the SMS says, I believe the Ashes were played by two ordinary teams.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
so,
that's
so
true.
Whilst England may that's have been true. Ordinary in your eyes, that the Australians, in fact, were more than ordinary in this series. David's in Moorabbin. He wants to talk to you, Hoggy, so get your little headphones on and have a chat to Dave. Hello, Dave.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
David, you're on notice. The best caller today gets a book. That's if you want a book. But
it's a very good book, too.
It's a very good book,
I'm about to make a big call here. But Rodney, I reckon our attitude, led by our coach, probably cost us the Ashes. I think that our arrogance approach in England and saying that we've got a pace quartet of guys that can bowl over 150 clicks and we'll destroy them and we'll knock their heads over, and when we go out to bat, you know, we'll be bullish and we'll bash them around the field, and we weren't able to adapt, or we weren't prepared to adapt our gameplay to suit English conditions. And I agree with you, said it was a contest play between two very ordinary teams, but the fact that we were so arrogant about going over there and playing a game style that just doesn't work over there. We haven't won a series in there in 15 years. We needed to adapt earlier. We needed a change of attitude from the top. We weren't able to get that until the contest was over, where we picked Siddle to bowl line and length. You know, and we had faith in Sean Marsh to get the job done. We just weren't able to adapt, and that's an arrogant attitude from the Australians, and quite rightfully, they lost the Ashes. England didn't win them.
You were there, Hoggy. You were there for the first three tests of the Ashes. Was that a vibe that you were picking up from the Australians and the Australian camp in the preparation for this series?
Well, I think that's been Darren's a little bit of a... he wants to be aggressive around the planet. And as David, the caller, said, that and there's certain conditions in England. When it is like Lord's was, then you go out there, the fastest bowlers, and bang them round, and that'll win your test match. But when it's overcast and seeming, then it's a different kettle of fish, and you can't have
different style of bowler.
You can't go out with the arrogance of we're going to just bang runs around and bounce them out. No, you've got to be so that's a good call. That one, totally agree with that call.
So is he in the running for the
ball? Oh, he's very good. Nine straight away.
Okay, yep. Right.
Set a high standard.
Got a nine. Okay, we're so you've got to chase David if you want to have a crack at Hoggy's book. We'll get to a break. You can have a crack at it after the break if you like. 1:21. We're going through the analysis, the post-mortem, if you like, of the Ashes campaign with Rodney Hogg.
And was Michael Clarke a great captain? I heard Mark Allen say last night that he was a great captain, and I don't totally agree with that, but I want to hear what the callers say.
Plenty of calls when I have a chat to you, but...
All right, well, they can hang on a couple of secs. I just want to give credit where credit's due. Nathan Lyon, now, he's in rarefied air half, and I had the wonderful, the unfortunate pleasure to face the great quartet of Roberts, Holding, Garner and Croft in about 79. And that was, and then along came Marshall. So they were, that was the great era of fast bowling. Also, I had the opportunity in 77 to face Chandrasekhar, Beatty, Prasanna, Venkat, the four superstar spinners. And they were amazing. And then you look at this kid, Nathan Lyon, and how do you rate Nathan Lyon? Sometimes you're in here and you're talking about Wayne Carey. Is Wayne Carey the greatest footballer of all time? Is Lee Matthews? Is Hayden Bunton? So you do all that sort of stuff. As now, where do you, you've watched Nathan Lyon's career. Mm-hmm. Where do you sort of think he's starting to fit as far as off-spinners go in the history of the game? The history of the game.
Well, look, I'm not sure he's all-time great, but he, I imagine his record's mounting a case that he's sort of in the top 10.
Yeah, he's in the top 10. Now, I use the word greatest off spinners of all time because his average is very good, 34. I'll look at the bloke called Embry. Now, Embry's
John
not
Embry,
in the top 10. I'll give you Embry. 64 test matches, 147 wickets. Lyon, 46 test matches, 162 wickets. One of the areas of Michael Clarke's captaincy, he has used Lyon. Well, he's obviously used him well. Not that Lyon ever wins us any test matches, but I don't know if off spinners do. But he's in Murali, Singh, Gibbs, Swan, Saklam, Laker, Huey Tayfield? Yeah.
Righto.
Prasanna. He's in with those blokes, mate. He's Tayfield's
is
got,
that for wickets and averages or just wickets?
Oh, Lakers. They're uncovered wickets, some of these. Laker was on an uncovered wicket, and Mush, Saklam, Mushtaq, he gave him a little bit of a twing. So he's not up with Gibbs and Swan and Singh and Murali yet, obviously, but he's working his way up there. He's in with, he's not far, Prasanna, 189 at 30. Now, little Prasanna, Dougie Walters said he had the ball on a string and just pull it back.
Yep.
This kid Lyon, I tell you what, his stats and add up with the greats now.
Which is interesting because I always thought, particularly through the middle phase of Michael Clarke's captaincy with the Australian cricket team, he didn't support him very well with fields. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that he butchered him a couple of times on a couple of series where he just gave Nathan Lyon no chance to actually get wickets or even contain with some of the fields that were set for Nathan Lyon. So we're talking about Michael Clark's leadership before, and you throw in the Nathan Lyon factor. I think he got butchered through the middle phase of Michael Clark's captaincy.
The great thing that Lyon's had is we underestimate him. Also, the opposition batsmen underestimate him. He's got so many blokes out trying to hit him out of the ground. Look at Bell's dismissal, and I think the third test match, Bell was going beautifully, batting superbly, tried to hit him out of the ground. He's got some little knack that he can get the ball to drop, and a lot of the blokes these days trying, and he gets a lot of his wickets caught at, say, mid-on or deep mid-on. But his stats are really starting to pile up. So well done to Nathan Lyon. And perhaps he should have been vice-captain half. I don't know what you think, Warner. I know you probably don't think anything about vice-captains, but if the captain doesn't turn up in the morning again, the vice-captain becomes captain,
yes,
as you know.
Yes.
So do you want Warner captain of Australia at this stage of his life? Do you reckon he's settled down enough just yet?
Oh, I'm okay with it, yeah.
Are you?
I'm okay. I don't think it'll happen very often, Rodney. If it does, it'd be a rare occurrence. I don't think that'll be too bad for Australian cricket if that's the case.
It'd be we want a
dynamic leader, you'd think, on the field.
Well, do we want it? Apparently, it's called a brains trust when you get the captain and vice captain having a chat together. It's called a brains trust. Have we got a brains trust? Is Smithy going to get the help from Warner that he requires?
I don't know enough about David's acumen.
Don't you?
I don't know enough about Nathan's either, by the way, if in terms of captaincy and...
He looks more sensible, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Appearances can be misleading.
Well, we've got to go on looks sometimes, don't we?
But they can be misleading, Hoggy.
When we're watching this stuff on TV, we've got to go on looks.
That's correct. It's all we've got at times. Michael's in Heathmont. G'day, Michael.
G'day, guys. I'm going to name some cricketers who I think need to play county cricket so we can win the Ashes in England in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch Marsh, Sean Marsh, Warner, Bogis, and possibly Johnson as well.
Well, you make it hard with... Johnson won't go back to England, so forget about Johnson. He can just keep going along with the test team. You won't take him back to England. Mitch Marsh, unfortunately, is going to be a superstar in the shorter form of the game, so he's not going to have time. Sean Marsh, he can go over there for another 4 years. Yeah, he can go over there. Who was the other one?
I reckon Warner should too.
Well, he's also a superstar in our shorter form of the game. So, mate, they haven't got the time to get over there, unfortunately. But not a bad call.
The calendar, is it beaten David from
Redmond's
nine?
No, David's a nine, and that call was a 7.2.
So, Michael, just a 7. Not quite a book at this stage, Michael. But thanks for calling. Lance is in Boronia. G'day, Lance.
Yeah, g'day, Rodney. G'day, Daniel. Look, I was disappointed with our batting quite a few times with their batting technique. I was kind of wondering why they tend to be too aggressive at the ball rather than let the ball come onto the bat. They were actually throwing the bat, especially Clark. I thought Clark would have woken up to that a lot earlier. And I just some of the, like Warner at times, and then a few of the other batsmen at times were just having this brain fade where they thought they were playing 2020 cricket and just going out too aggressively at the bowling, especially on the softer English wickets. I think you really have to let the ball come onto the bat a bit more rather than just throw the bat at anything that comes at you. You know, what do you think on that, Rodney?
We were seeing the end of Michael Clark's career, not batting anywhere near as well as he had in previous times over there. What you see with Warner is what you're going to get. The commentators kept saying, oh, this is how you should bat. The Australians have come to bat like this at the Oval. The ball wasn't swinging around and seeming like it did in the third and fourth test match. We're all going to be... If the ball's not swinging, it's a lot easier to leave. If the ball's sharply swinging back and seeming away, you're going to play at those sort of things. But if the ball's online, they did bat, look like, more sensibly. But I didn't think the ball was doing as much in the last test match and we outplayed them. But what a pathetic... It was a good batting strip, that. And England couldn't give you a run. They couldn't give you a run at Lords, couldn't give you a run at the Oval, and yet they win the Ashes. That's what's really, really annoying. No, it is. It's very annoying.
I can sense that in you today.
No.
I can sense it, that you're annoyed.
Pretty good call, six.
Six? Well, gee whiz, just a six for Lance. Sorry, Lance.
Sorry, Lance.
Seven, but not to be today, says Hoggy. Pete's in East Bentley. G'day, Pete.
G'day. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, g'day, Peter. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. You're getting that left shoulder under the chin on when you're talking.
I am, mate. I've got the lessons. Dr. Jeff out in Bundoora. What is it? Plenty Road.
On the driving range?
Quite, yeah, the driving
yeah,
range.
Yeah, out, with near the cemetery.
Near the cemetery yeah. on Plenty Road.
Well,
yeah.
That's good. I'm very happy. Now.
No, you're not. You just made that up, Peter. Go on.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get second place so I get two books. Do you reckon, Hoggy, we have enough good blokes in the side?
Oh, good people. That area that's got to be ticked, why some people haven't sometimes played. They looked like a pretty happy bunch when they were going out at the Oval, and the commentators were trying to say what a happy sight. I don't know. I think there were some good actors in that team going out at the Oval. I don't know if they're quite as happy as what the commentators. I think they're basically a pretty good bunch. I've met all the fast bowlers. That kid, I've met Smith. He's a ripper. Yeah, basically a pretty good bunch of blokes, yeah.
They don't look like it when they're on the field. They don't inspire me at all.
Well, there's a difference between being a good bloke and being inspired, isn't there?
Well, I mean, giving send-offs, that you have to be the lowest of low to give a batsman a send-off, and yet we seem to do it at will.
Hang on, Peter. You're talking to Rodney Hogg, remember?
But Peter's an umpire. He's representing the umpires fraternity, so he's allowed to think like that.
You're aware of who you're talking to, Peter, of course, aren't you?
Yes, very much so.
Peter, 8.95.
8.95.
Yeah, but not quite good enough to get the chocolates. Sorry, mate.
Not inspired by the Australian cricket team at the moment, says Pete.
Just on the stats with the captaincy, and I'll go back to the olden days. Bradman didn't lose a series. Hassett lost one.
Well, it's handy when you're the Don, though, and you're carrying the team. Yeah. That's pretty helpful. Yeah, yeah.
Well, Hassett only lost one. He's got nearly the same identical win-loss ratio as Bradman, but he didn't have Bradman as captain. So he only lost one. Benno didn't lose a series. Ian Chappell didn't lose a series. But prior to, obviously, Alan Border covered wickets, and the game was played differently. So since Border, Mark Waugh only lost one series in India. He's only got a strike.
Was he captain?
Mark Taylor. Mark Waugh. Sorry.
I was wondering when that series was.
Sorry, that's why I'm not in radio very often, just once a week. Mark Taylor, yeah. He's 52% win-loss ratio.
Right.
But only lost one series. Steve Waugh, 71%, and only lost one series. So Stephen Waugh, really, whether you make an assessment on a captain based on field placements and this or who they've got to play for them, but Stephen Waugh's the best captain just based on that, isn't he? He lost one series in India. You go to Ricky Ponting, 62% win-loss ratio, but he lost six series. He lost three series against England, Rick, and two against India. So you can't mark Rick down as a great captain. You can't mark him.
How many did he win?
62%, 77 for 48. It's very good.
But how many series did he win?
I'm not sure enough.
Right,
just looking
at loss category. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
You're looking at the glass half full. I'm looking at half empty. But three series against England robs Rick of us thinking great captain, really,
yeah,
unfortunately.
Fair enough.
Michael Clarke lost two Ashes in England. I don't know how you can say Michael Clarke. Michael Clarke, 42 test matches for 21 victories, 50%.
Yep. So he's, how many series lost? Just the two Ashes once?
No, in India. We lost 4-0.
Oh, we did.
So Michael Clarke, to me, is not a great captain. I think he was... enthusiastic.
Adventurous.
Adventurous, enthusiastic, and a good-looking bloke. But I can't see Michael Clarke as... he fell out with the selectors. I told you why Siddle should have... how it went along and Sids didn't get a game. Mm. How were you going to fit Siddle into that third test match? Who were you going to drop?
I was going to drop one of the others.
Well, that's easy to say. Which one?
One of them. I can't remember who played. Was it Johnson, Stark, and Hazelwood?
Yeah.
One of the lefties.
Comprehensively beaten them at Lords. We go to a...
On Swan Street. It was like that. It was out there on Swan Street, the wicket.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we're at Victoria Park the next week. Green deck.
Yeah.
MCG.
Yeah. Yep.
You can't play the same bowler, surely.
Huh. I don't know about that.
Surely.
Well, you go to one of the bowlers and say, mate, you're out today. We're going to give you a bit of a spell. And he's looking at you going, I'm going to kill you because it's a green seamer. I bowled for you on a road last week and you're going to drop me this game. You're kidding me.
You're kidding me. Well, I would have won you the Ashes. That's all.
It's like you dropping your batsman. It's a flat wicket today. I got you 200. We're on a green seamer. Sure. Have a spell. We don't think you can bat on this wicket.
Why wouldn't you? If they've shown form, they can't do that.
I'll tell you what.
Cons in Wodonga.
No, stick here at SEN. Don't take up a selection in cricket.
Hello, Con.
How you going, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good, Con. You got 9.2 to 9.4 to beat.
What? No worries. All two quick ones. I just think we didn't work on partnerships hard enough, both on the batting and the bowling. I mean, a couple of key times we just needed some people to dig in and put together some runs or chew out some time. The first test could have been drawn with another hour. And the bowlers just didn't bolt tight enough together.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad call. Yeah, the first test match in the second innings, we were about 2 for 100 at lunch or just prior to lunch, and then Warner got out and we lost about 3 quickly after. Our middle order was disgraceful, wasn't it, Connor? It was hopeless.
It wasn't good enough. The other thing too, I just think on Clark, I don't think you can be a good captain if you're not riding on the team bus and, you know, you're not starting the night out with a drink with the boys or whatever they do. I think your captain's got to be there at the start. Doesn't have to be there till 2 in the morning or anything like that, but you got to be part of the team. You got to lead the team, not take off and do your own thing.
Well, what happens when you're married to a glamour? What are you going to do? What are you going to do there?
She's got to respect his captain of Australia. He was captain of Australia when she married him.
Yeah, well, how are you going to handle her when she wakes up in the morning and says, "Oh, darling, can you take me out here before you get to the cricket? How are you going to handle it?"
Honey, you know,
I reckon you just have to let her know that you've got to start tonight with the boys for the first half hour, and after that, at least start the thing riding the bus with him. You've got no excuse for not riding in the bus with them.
If you're on tour to play cricket, Hoggy, as your job, as your main source of income, and you're leading a country, I imagine that would be a pretty straightforward sort of conversation.
I know exactly what you do. You just give her the credit card. Give her the credit card. Darling, I've got a captain in Australia today. If you don't mind, I'll see you in 5 days' time. Here's
the
credit card.
Have a great time. Thank you, Con. What number for Con? Is he 9.4?
Yeah, no, he's up there, but not the first call, really. That was a good call. Yeah,
8.6. 8.6, I reckon. Tony's in East Melbourne. A long way away, but don't go. G'day, Tone.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good, thanks.
Well, I end up watching about 85% of the, I reckon, 90% of all the test matches.
Yeah.
So my little thing was
you watched a lot more than me, I tell you.
Yeah. I was weary eyes, but fortunately it only went for 2 and 3 days.
True.
My fear going in was not so much the swinging ball, the seaming ball. And quite often what I was doing is flicking around with Foxtel. You can, during the breaks, you can flick around to BBC and you can actually hear comments coming from the English side rather than the Australian commentators. And it was really interesting because they were so far, they were poles apart in what they were saying. So my little first thing was in the first test, apart from Haddon's catch, this is where Clark is the captain. I put him in about 6 out of 10. Because if you remember, Lyons bowling, and he had cut his couple of fieldsmen at, not long on, 2/3 in from the boundary. Those boundaries aren't long. And twice, Root popped a ball straight over the top of the fieldsman's head. Just couldn't quite get to it. And that was with Root. I thought in the second test, Hazelwood's bowling was ordinary and he was taking wickets. If you look at the wickets, but look at the balls that he got them out on, they really should have been 4 balls. They were that wide of the off stump. They should have been hit spanked to the boundary, but he was said that they sticked a few. And that's what I would have done in the third test, Hoggy. I would have actually said to Hazelwood, "Look, young fella, you're not quite bowling tight enough. You're not cutting the ball like we expected you to do. There was no off cutters, there was no in swingers, there was no leg cutters, so just have a rest." And that's why Peter Siddle should have come in. And I also would have brought in Sean Marsh. I know, and both.
Oh, don't get. You're going brilliantly.
Gee, he was almost nodding.
You're going brilliantly.
He's almost nodding. Then you mentioned the Marsh man.
So you rate Sean Marsh, do you, as a batsman?
No. Yeah. I don't rate him.
Yeah.
I just thought I was thinking of just making a change there. I thought Vogels was struggling a bit. So that I know that was going to be contentious, Oggy. I know that.
Yeah.
So the fourth test, I thought we absolutely froze. And the captain, the way that Clark went out with that slashing ball outside the off stump was just a litmus for how we batted with such hard hands throughout those 4 tests. I thought we just simply froze in the 4th. Mm. And then in the 5th test, I thought Clark's bowl, the way he moved the bowlers around, I know Siddle was holding up one end, it was, 20 overs, bloody 2 or 3 for 18 or something. But he moved the bowlers really quickly. You know, Stark wasn't bowling any well, off he went, on goes Johnson. He wasn't going well, bang, in goes in Mitch. Then goes Lyon. And I thought I gave him a tick in the 5th test because he was inventive, especially when the rain was coming and I was panicking watching. that's what I thought.
So 1 out of 5 for Michael Averitt.
That's a brilliant call. I'll agree with everything you said apart from bringing Shaun Marsh in, but you had to try and say do something to bolster that middle order. The last test match, when you've got a bloke who's bowling line and length and accurately like Siddle was, then you can revolve your attack around him, which he did in the last test match. And he probably the whole series, he didn't have someone who did that line bowl quite tidily, but no one was really bang, 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 bang at the stumps. And that was probably, and Siddle showed that up in the last test match, and that's probably the best call we've ever had.
Ever?
That's the best call we've ever had. So that's a 10.
Gee whiz, that's a 10. Poor old 10. David in Moorabbin's flat.
Sorry, David, but that was a brilliant.
Flat as a tack.
It was a brilliant call, and you were agreeing with everything he said.
I liked his work early. The Shaun Marsh thing, I sort of lost a couple of points from me there, but that's okay.
I'll tell you the original thing when Lehman and Clark, when Lehman was given the job, he said, I'll take the job on as long as Michael Clark isn't captain. Now, Michael Clark's got a massive ego. Selector.
Selector, right.
Selector. Yeah. Sorry, I've done that again. Well, how would you feel if you're the captain and going along very nicely and the bloke who gets appointed doesn't want you as a selector? How would you feel? You're gonna just store that away. You're not going to be a happy little camper. And then as it goes along, it just takes a few little things to fall out. And then they got to the UAE. I don't know whether it was so much a Clark versus Lehman in the UAE, but certainly the selectors. And I think Clark wanted Doolan in the team, but then said to the selectors, I want him out. So it was a very, very confusing moment.
It's an odd situation.
Very, very odd in the UAE when we lost those couple of test matches against Pakistan. Doolan was batting at 3. There was an article back here by Michael Clark that said, I got a feeling Doolan's going to get 100. We lost the first one.
Yep.
Doolan was batting at 3. And then Michael Clark said, I've got a feeling Doolan's going to get 100. But my mail is that he went to the selector and said, I want Maxwell in and Doolan out. So it was a very, very confusing time. And at the time, we kept saying about Maxwell, why is Maxwell batting at 3? So that's when they started to really fall apart. The selection panel and Michael started to really fall apart.
Speaking of captaincy, Josh in Windsor wants to talk about that with you. I assume we're talking about Michael Clark here. Josh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys.
How you doing?
You can't beat 10, Josh.
Yes, you can.
Sorry, can't beat 10. I'll do my best. Mate, I just wanted to find out from you guys. I think it's a little bit unfair sort of comparing captains along the journey when you look at the different personnel that they've got to work with. I mean, you don't rate, say, a baseball team in America based on the captaincy or whatever. You base them on who's on the roster at the time. And look over at Michael Clark's sort of career and how many tests he's won and lost. I think it's based more so around who's actually, you know, in his team rather than the decisions that he's making. While
all right. Well, how are you going to assess him and compare him? You're not going to compare him with anybody else. You're just going to assess Michael Clark and say what you think of him.
I think he's been a great captain. I think he's made, you know, great decisions on bringing bowlers on at the right time, great field placements. You know, things like that, things that have direct impacts on the game. As you said, he's had the selection being taken off him recently as well, so he hasn't even got input on who's going to be in his side as much as what Steve Waugh and other captains have had along the journey. So I think, you know, in terms of just his on-field captaincy, I think he's been great. In my lifetime, I'm only 30, I've only seen a couple of captains, I suppose. I think he's been very good. In terms of off the field, I can't speak on what he does, you know, with the team, whether he's on the bus or whatever. I don't think that's as important as what you're doing on the field.
Well, in 50 years' time, no one will remember if Michael Clark got on the bus or not, but they'll certainly remember that we lost 2 Ashes in England with Michael Clark's captaincy. So I think you've got to just analyse a little bit and compare with the past when guys haven't lost any Ashes in England. You've got to have a little bit of, or no Ashes, no loss as a captain. But I understand what you're saying. So you reckon he's a great captain, so that's one. We haven't heard too many say. We've just sort of heard average. We haven't had a lot of callers saying great, but nobody's really bagged Michael Clark.
That's true. Daniel and Warren. G'day, Dan.
G'day, Harper, Hoggy.
G'day, mate.
I just want to go back to the selection queries that I've got in terms of how the Ashes series panned out. Right. Like, with the batting, like...
30 seconds.
As soon as I saw Shaun Marsh on the selection, I'm like, I just shook my head. I'm like thinking, why isn't Khawaja in the side? Because Khawaja is such a much more patient sort of batsman, which is what you need in England. You know, the way the pitches are set up there.
He was on the A-Tour doing his thing, wasn't he? Usman Khawaja was part of the A-Tour. in India.
You're going to be very interested to see who represents Australia in Bangladesh, aren't you? Is Khawaja going to be there? My mail is Stoinis is a really good chance.
And Stoinis.
Who else is going to be there?
All right. Thank you, Dan, for your call. We're just running a bit short of time. Appreciate that. Khawaja, well, he was in all the Channel 9 commentators' first test squad at the Gabba.
And that bloke made a really good point about the commentators. The English commentators are all over us. Hopeless ours.